The Rams get the upset victory on the Bills in a game of the year candidate, but lo and behold, the Josh Allen MVP sweepstakes rose in a losing effort, but he had 6 touchdowns total. How does that happen? Sean McDermott being a dumbass again, what a surprise. The Chiefs continue their dark magic and beat the Chargers on a last-second doink. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros. Boy, what a week of football. Wasn't the greatest week in the world, but we had one game in particular in the 4 o'clock slate that I don't really know who really thought this was going to be the way it was, but holy moly, was this a game. The Rams upsetting the Bills 44-42 on Sunday in what could possibly be the game of the year. This was the first time in NFL history where both teams had 5 passing touch, where there was 5 passing touchdowns, 5 passing touchdowns, 5 rushing touchdowns total, over 900 plus yards and no turnovers. Insanity. Josh Allen, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns. 3 rushing touchdowns along with 3 passing touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 2 passing touchdowns on 320 yards. Kyron Williams with 2 rushing touchdowns. Puka Nacua showing that he's a top 5 receiver in the league. 12 catches, 162 yards, and 1 touchdown. 1 receiving, 1 rushing touchdown. Good God. What? Just looking at these stats is just insane, especially seeing like the Rams dominating time possession, 38 minutes to 21 minutes for the Bills. And the Rams had a massive lead going into the fourth quarter as well. They were up 37-31 at one point, or pardon, 38-31 at one point. And I started to blow the lead. The Bills make their comeback. And this is the one reason why the Bills will not win the Super Bowl ever. It's because of Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McDermott continues to be a dumbass. That last touchdown that Puka Nacua scored on, the little screen go, 9 players on the field for the defense. 9 players on the field on defense for the Bills. Guy like Sean McDermott, I figured that he would know the difference between 9 and 11.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. And then the Bills, to all their credit, Josh Allen putting the team on his back once again, because this is indubitably an MVP performance from this guy. Drives him down the field. They get to the 1-yard line. I think it was because of a PI. I forget. But either way, they have first and goal at the 1-yard line, just over a minute to go, and all 3 timeouts. What do we do here? Do we A, pass? Do we B, pass? Do we C, run to the outside? Or D, just run a QB sneak up the middle and burn 10 seconds off the clock? Sean McDermott chose D and burned 10 seconds off the clock and used a timeout. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what
he
the
literally
fuck
did doing? A reverse Eberflus. Jesus Christ.
Like, what are we doing? Why are you? And Tom Brady immediately ripped the idea in half as well. As soon as the play ended, Tom Brady, who was losing his voice over this game, immediately ripped into Sean McDermott at how much of a dumbass he was for running a quarterback sneak with over a minute to go. When you have all 3 you need all 3 of those timeouts. brother, my brother in Christ, you need those three timeouts. What are we doing here? Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. But that's Sean McDermott. That is Sean McDermott for you. He's the same guy that ran a fake punt with Damar Hamlin last year in a Disney Channel movie style fashion.
And have that end up
terribly.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rams keeping their the big storylines, though, I just wanted to get that rant out of the way. The big storylines from this game, the Rams keeping their season alive in what is a very weird NFC West, and the Bills, Josh Allen, his MVP odds rising even with this loss. I mean, for good reason. He had six total touchdowns in 400 yards to himself, passing and rushing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen literally did a double hat trick, 3 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns. I couldn't even tell the last time done. Maybe like Michael Vick or something. I don't know.
I don't even know if Michael Vick ever even had 3 rushing touchdowns. Maybe he had 3 passing touchdowns. I don't know if he had 3 rushing touchdowns.
Or, I don't know, maybe him or Cam Newton or some mobile dude with a good arm. Lamar.
I'm pretty sure Josh Allen is the first.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, more power to him, I guess.
Let me check that real quick, though. But right, continue.
While we're checking that, don't let the Bills record fool you. I have officially been vindicated by my stance on Sean McDermott after last game. I said last season, and I even said this offseason, Sean McDermott is not a serious head coach. He just continues to waste Josh Allen. And you know what the worst part is? Look at their record. They're not going to fire him. Honestly, let's just say somehow the worst comes to worst for Buffalo and they go one and done in the playoffs. I still doubt they fire McDermott. Although I did say this offseason that if Buffalo makes the playoffs and they go one and done, McDermott should be fired. But they probably won't. They'll just be like, oh my God, look at his record. Like, wow, you play in one of the weakest divisions. Yeah, I should hope you have a good record. And I don't care if their schedule's hard. Like, what did you do? 9 players on the field. 9. Look, forget too many men on the field. You know, that happens from time to time. But very rarely do we see too few. Like, what was your angle there?
And it was right after a timeout. Yeah,
and that's even worse. Right after a timeout, you know, a time where you should have your stuff together. So what was the plan? I very much need to know what the plan was. And, oh, my God, talk about team cohesion. And by the way, for those of you who don't know at home, the 9/11 thing we alluded to was Sean McDermott, weirdo that he is, literally used 9/11 as an analogy for team cohesion.
To expand on that. It was the terrorists of 9/11.
Yes, the terrorists, not the rescue effort, the terrorists. And he said, "Oh, that's team cohesion," which he used as a thing. So we weren't even making like any kind of offensive joke like that. This literally came from Sean McDermott himself. Now that in and of itself, if you ask me, is a red flag. But oh my God, I can't get over that 9 men on the field. And once again, it gets worse. You wasted a timeout, gave the ball back to the Rams, and they were just able to sit on the ball and run the clock out because, you know, you're down 1 timeout. And Chris mentioned this, but if you look at the team stats, once again, dominated in the time of possession, a 17-minute difference. I'm sorry, aren't the Bills supposed to be, isn't their identity like this gritty defensive punch you in the mouth team? Well, their offense was doing that. Their defense sort of just laid down and died.
That's one thing I do want to get at, because there was one point in the game where I was like, what's the stats here on the pressure? And I saw it and I was like, no sacks for Josh Allen. Okay. Makes sense. D-line isn't great. Defense just isn't great for the Rams. And then I look at it for the Rams, no sacks for Matthew Stafford. What? This is
exactly.
The lines for the Rams are terrible.
They could not get off the field.
No.
They couldn't. The Bills only pressured him a handful of times. He had a clean pocket like 9 out of 10 times. Wasn't even sacked once. They went 11 for 15 on third down and 1 of 1 on fourth down. And they ran 72 plays to the Bills 54 and 28 first downs to the Bills 25. And this is something that I mentioned last week about a different team. I can't remember which one. I'm sure it'll come to me. Probably not. But a very underrated facet of the NFL for teams is your ability to just sit on the ball. There are times where you just have to possess, and the Bills' defense could not get off the field. And I can already hear the Bills faithful from on high saying, oh my God, but the offseason, we lost a lot of people. It's like, shut up. You were literally saying throughout the first half of the season, we don't need them because McDermott's a good coach. We could get along without it. Yeah, uh-huh. Now look what's happening. And now you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. Well, guess what? I'm not Adam. I don't believe two things can be true at once. That's not a slight at Adam. That's just something that he says a lot on the show. No, well, guess what? I'm not him. I don't think two things, especially two opposites, can be true at once. So, Bills fans, I say unto you, which is it? Did you not need them and you can put in anyone and be good? Or is it not McDermott's fault that the defense is undermanned? Like, both can't be true. Like, good Lord. And this is the team that's supposed to beat Kansas City. Just, I don't know. There's one thing I'll say. One nice thing. They needed this loss. I know.
Humbling loss.
Yeah. I know it's weird to say a team needs to lose, but this is a loss that keeps you grounded. You got to have something, especially one as painful as this, seared into your mind for playoff time. So you know what not to do. You know what to avoid. And most importantly, you don't get high on your own supply. However, a humbling loss can have the opposite effect, where you get down on yourself and you just kind of curl up into a ball. I remember it was 2015. The Patriots were like 8-0 or whatever. They got handed their first loss and the play calling got really conservative. They curl up into a ball. They started taking less chances. You don't want to do that. You can't get down on yourself. So these so-called, like Chris mentioned, humbling losses can sometimes have the opposite effect, and you got to be wary of that. Then again, the 2015 Patriots might not be the best example, because they were just probably the most injured team in the league too, but that doesn't matter. But for Buffalo, don't get down on yourself, but maybe get off your high horse a bit. You know, there's a happy medium.
Yeah, I think we talked this one pretty well at this point. I mean, we got through everything we needed to get to, but just to confirm about the Josh Allen stat, he is the first quarterback or just first player ever with 3 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns. So Cam Newton never did it. Mike Vick never did it. Huh. Josh Allen stands alone and is MVP odds.
That's the worst part.
Yeah,
that's the worst part, in a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh Allen's MVP odds are now at minus 400. He is the favorite. Minus 400. That's insane. But one more last thing to touch on, especially for the Rams. This goes to show the Rams offense is going to fucking tear you to shreds, but it's the defense, man. If you can find a way to keep scoring late against that defense or at least get a couple stops, then you're going to find a way to come back against the Rams. But by God, you better not let yourself get into too big of a hole.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to wrap it up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into another Chiefs win. I don't know how they keep doing it, but they just keep finding ways to pull wins out of their ass. And I'm sick of it. We'll be back after the break.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Move on to our next game, the second game we're going to be talking about today, the Chiefs beating the Chargers on a last-second doink. Oh, my God. The entire season we were just talking about, the main storyline is how do the Chiefs keep getting away with it versus the Ravens? It's a freaking toenail of Isaiah Likely that's out of bounds. The Bengals, a phantom PI call. The Falcons, a phantom no call on a PI. Chargers, they barely beat. Saints, they did their worst against them.
Hold on now. I'm sorry. What did I say last episode? It's not enough to bring your A game against Kansas City. You need to bring your A-plus game. You can't play sloppy against them. And I kept saying this. If it's at any point a one-score game, Kansas City's going to win. And I said, too, I know it's due to forces beyond your control. And I said last week, you got the game-winning touchdown. Tough luck. The flag's coming out. Oh, you stopped them to win the game on fourth down? Nope, flag. I keep saying this. For example, on the Chiefs, game-winning drive, they missed a block in the back. They missed 2 holding calls. They missed a tripping call. And I remember Jim Harbaugh is going ballistic on the sideline saying their right tackle, Jawan Taylor, literally on every play of the Chiefs' final drive jumped. Literally every play they could have given him a false start. They just don't. Look, we say it all the time. You can't leave the game in the hands of the refs. Against Kansas City, you are not going to get those calls. You have to play around it. And these teams, I fear, and look, I'm not taking anything away from Kansas City. It's a great system. Mahomes has thrived under Andy Reid. It's clear. And especially this year, this is not a shot at Mahomes. I'm not insinuating Mahomes is a system quarterback, but let's tell the truth. He's having a down year, and Reid has been able to elevate Mahomes' play. Steve Spagnuolo, though he's a little overrated, has been able to keep the defense going strong. But the thing is, for these teams, they're too content. I'm sorry, they're too content with complaining. And I keep saying, you are not going to get those calls against Kansas City. Whenever you stop them, you have to expect the flag to come out. That's just how it is. And I can already hear the Chiefs fans, clutching their pearls saying, good teams will always find a way to win as they sweat soy. But no, I'm sorry. That's just the truth. And there are numbers that prove that. Also, another thing that they don't want to talk about, and a stat, like I said, that can prove my point, is that since he's been in the league, Mahomes has the most interceptions overturned on penalties. That in and of itself is a slam dunk that I'm right, but I digress. But my point is, you can't complain. Complaining does nothing. And I'm so tired of them saying, okay, oh my God, the refs are helping them. Yes, they are. It's a well-established fact. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to rise above? I keep saying this too. I know they have a good defense, but you got to make it a 2-score game. Because when it's a 2-score game, like we saw in Buffalo, they can't play from behind. They tried and they failed. Because when Mahomes had to play hero ball, he came up short.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
I love it when people try to say that the Patriots had the refs in their back pocket, but
it was never, as a Pats fan, I can assure you, we got away with some stuff, but I cannot remember it ever being this bad. Hell, I know Chiefs fans that have outright said it was never this bad with New England, and even they know it too.
Yeah. like my cousin at Thanksgiving last year, we were watching, I forget if we were watching a Chiefs game. No, they didn't play on Thanksgiving last year. Now that I think of it, might've been on Black Friday, but, I'm getting my games mixed up now, but anyways, he was asking me if I thought that, Patrick Mahomes would be just as worse in terms of getting calls as Tom Brady, or like the Chiefs as a whole would be just as bad at getting calls as the Patriots. And I was like, I feel like that the Patriots did not get that many calls as you think that they might have. If you can name me like more than three, then we can have a discussion. But there's literally like you, like for the Chiefs, there's like a whole highlight reel of just missed calls at this point, or calls, missed calls, no calls that go the Chiefs' way that end up winning it for them. And in this case, on Sunday night, they get themselves in a field goal range and they still almost lose, and they get it on a freaking doink and in. It's just ridiculous. Like that was this past week, Black Friday. It was a botched snap. The Panthers, they almost blew a lead to Bryce Young and the Panthers. The Broncos game, it came down to a blocked field goal that they had to bumfuck the O-line. The Bucs, they beat an OT, and that was a team that was beaten and battered like a motherfucker. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this Chiefs team anymore, because I think that in the grand scheme of things, yeah, like people are right. Like good teams find a way to win in close games. Like, but at the same time too, it's just like there's obviously something going on, and I'm not going to say the league is rigged, but Jesus Christ, the Chiefs.
Let's just say they're doing a bad job at convincing us it's not.
Yeah. It's just insane. It's just insane. Like Bill Belichick says that the game of football is played in three quarters. You got the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter, which is all just prep work. The fourth quarter is just straight situational football. And yeah, the Chiefs might be great at just situational football, but god damn, dude, the first three quarters up until the fourth quarter will never. Like, I will never be convinced that the Chiefs are any good in the first three quarters. They will only ever be good in the fourth quarter, if that, the fourth quarter.
Fair. But although, you know, it sucks. But just from a game standpoint, we knew this wasn't going to be the Chargers' year, you know? It's just, I can't help but feel like, you know, they probably would have won, obviously, if they had more weapons. And turns out our prediction came true. Ladd McConkey, rookie standout, did not play. And, that's just, injuries happen. Stop me if you've heard this one before, kids. J.K. Dobbins is hurt again. And, yeah, Justin Herbert, 21 of 30, 213 yards, one touchdown. I mean, look, the Chiefs defense is good, but the Chargers also have nothing. Hopefully they can get them some weapons this offseason. I don't know.
The Chargers are literally a wide receiver one away from being a very good team. Like, I think they're already a good team. They're going to be a playoff contender. But until they get themselves a wide receiver one, they're not making a deep run into the playoffs.
No. We always keep saying how the elite quarterback and an elite line are more important than an elite receiver. But how many teams win a Super Bowl without like a bona fide wide receiver one?
To Adam's point, like Adam makes the point of like, you don't need a wide, like look at the Chiefs. They had fucking Kadarius Toney, but like the Chiefs are like, one in a million.
Yeah, but they had Travis Kelce, and he definitely counts as a receiver because he is one. He doesn't. His route running is mid. He doesn't block. His football IQ is so-so. He can run and catch. That's all you need him for. That's what they're supposed to do. He's not really a tight end. He's a wide receiver.
Yeah, like you look at the teams prior, like Brady had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, even Mahomes had Tyreek Hill, Brady had Gronk and Edelman at in most points, along with Brandon Cooks. The Ravens in their Super Bowl run had Jacoby Jones and Anquan Boldin. Give me the tight end name. Give me the tight end name. I'm blanking on it right now.
For the Ravens?
Yeah, that back in 2012. It was like
Owen Daniels, right?
I think, yeah, Owen Daniels, something like that.
Yeah, because then he went to like Denver and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Denver, Demaryius Thomas. Denver had Demaryius Thomas. Seahawks at
Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin. Yeah,
Doug Baldwin. Don't disrespect now.
Yeah, I'm not disrespecting. I'm just trying to remember. 2009, the Saints had Marquise Colston.
Underrated.
Very underrated receiver. Doesn't get talked about enough. But every single Super Bowl winning team, besides last year's, besides Travis Kelce.
Rashee Rice.
Every single team has some sort of competent wide receiver one or wide receiver two. It's just how it is. And that's the long and short of it. Every single team needs a full factory worker to get the job done. Chargers basically have everything right now. They have the O-line. They have the running backs. They have a great defense. They just need someone other than Quentin Johnston to catch the football. And I think that they got a good, great receiver in Ladd McConkey. Josh Palmer is going to make for a good wide receiver three once they can get a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two and just make Ladd McConkey the wide receiver one and just have go two wide receiver twos the entire season.
I mean, one of them would have to develop, though. I mean, really going to be in a place, I think, unless they trade up or they can draft one of the elite ones. But I don't know. Maybe Egbuka or Bond can fall to them. That's what I would think.
Yeah. I feel like that this draft class has some good. Oh, didn't mean to do that. This wide receiver class or this draft class, I feel like, has some good skill players in it that they'll be able to find a way. But it's also not the cleanest drafts, but that's also just
not a good draft at all. But we'll get that a few months from now. It's whatever.
Yeah. But I think one more thing I want to touch on is on Friday we were talking about if the Chargers wanted to have any sort of confidence or anything like that to get themselves somewhat of a playoff run, even one playoff win, this was going to be the game, but... you lose this way. Granted, you had some injuries, but it's just not the best in terms of confidence, I feel like. Chiefs outlook, they got the Browns next week. Texans, Steelers, Broncos. I say they lose maybe two games there.
Yeah, it's possible. They're at least probably going to get one more loss. And look, you know, they did have a really soft schedule coming into this year, but we already knew that. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I'm one of the few that says I think that you can't play the soft schedule card for any good team.
No.
Because, and on a side note, I've said this many times, and if you're a veteran show watcher, you already know the way the NFL does strength of schedule is like earth-shatteringly stupid.
Yeah.
But whatever.
For the Chargers, though, they've now lost two of their last three. They got Bucks next week, Broncos week after, then the Pats and the Raiders. So very pretty clean last two games of the season, but the next 2 weeks are really going to shape up what their playoff picture could potentially look like. But, I mean, even this Raiders game for the last week of the season could be a little sketchy just because it's a divisional game.
Yeah, you know the Raiders are going to be looking to play spoiler, which,
yeah,
I don't know. Playing spoilers never something I understood. It's like if you win, you quite literally only hurt yourself. Roll over and die. And I know they're playing for contracts, and we have a team as bad as the Raiders. They're not really a team. They're just a bunch of rogue agents looking for their next deal. But still, like, you're only hurting yourself.
I think the safe thing to say about the Raiders is they haven't quit yet. I think that's like they haven't quit on their coach.
Yes, they haven't lost
the locker room. I think that's like the better way to describe the Raiders.
There's no way that they keep Antonio Pierce after this. Literally name-dropping players to the media is like a one-way ticket to the unemployment line.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still so 50-50 on that, but that's for another time.
Yeah, yeah. All fun and games till Max Crosby demands a trade. He came close once, but... Yeah.
We can talk about it in week 18 when we are right around the corner from Black Monday. All right. We're going to move on. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the eliminated competition for the NFL right now. They are currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams now eliminated from playoff contention. We're going to talk about them when we come back on the other side of this break.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. He's CJ Medeiros. So... we're getting to that point of the NFL season. We're all done with the bye weeks. Fantasy football playoffs are starting. Playoff scenarios are starting to form. You're starting to get a little bit of a cookie cutter look of what the NFL playoffs is going to look like. Along with that is some official ends to any sort of playoff hopes for these teams, even though, I mean, they probably didn't have any playoff hopes prior to week 10 anyways. But right now, Jets, Pats, Browns, Jaguars, Titans, Raiders, and Giants all eliminated from playoff contention right now as we head into week 15 this coming week. The Jets, probably the... I mean, look, the Pats, Browns, Jaguars, Titans, Raiders, and Giants. There was no way in hell they were going to do anything with the season that they had in front of them. Titans, maybe the Titans.
I don't know. There's some considerable hype around the Titans. And then, and, you know, the Jaguars gave Lawrence a huge deal. So there was some hope for them, I'd say.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, somewhat the Jags, but I think the Titans, like, besides the Jets, the Titans had a lot of hype around them. Like, Will Levis going into his second year. The defense was getting was loading up. The offense was still a little shaky, but the biggest thing for the offense was that they had Tony Pollard as their running back, along with Tyjae Spears as the number two. But especially with the Will Levis injury, it never really shaped up to what it could have been. The Jaguars, they're just a fucking mess. The Browns, they had Deshaun Watson, and like, it's crazy to say that they have more faith in Jameis. Like, there's life with Jameis Winston at quarterback than what they had before. Like, if, like, allegations and drama aside, like, it's crazy to think that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Jameis has quite literally played better. He had more yards in a snow game than Deshaun Watson did in any other game. Like, there was some stat that I saw, and I think he even said this on the show, but I don't even know if Watson even – yeah, here, I'm looking at it right now. Deshaun Watson didn't even throw for over 200 yards in a singular game. So, yeah.
It's so terrible.
Once you, like you said, allegations and all that aside, I mean, come on. Like,
yeah.
Winston has played infinitely better.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Browns end up doing. I'd love to see Jameis get at least one more year. Maybe the Browns draft a quarterback and Jameis is like just leading a puppy into the light and see what happens. But the Raiders had some good components. Not a lot, not many. They were never going to be a playoff contender, but it certainly didn't help that their quarterbacks of choice was Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And right now, along with that, Desmond Ritter, And then one other guy that I can't think of his name, especially now that Minshew's out for the year and Aiden O'Connell might be out this week, maybe more. But it does sound like he might be getting that he should be good to go for this week. Lord knows. The Giants, man. It sucks that, like, we've been talking about this all year. It sucks that Brian Daboll might get the can come Black Monday. He's a great coach. The whole thing with Daniel Jones sucks because, like, you know that the whole locker room was behind Daniel Jones, not even for his play, but just like how he was in the locker room. Daniel Jones was a leader, really good guy. And you, like, everyone in that locker room knew he was trying his damn best. Like, he knew that, like, he isn't the guy, but by God, he tried his best. And that's all you can ask for of a teammate, I guess, at that point.
Yeah. Real quick, the Jets, like you mentioned.
I wanted to save the Jets for last. I'm sorry.
Okay. Continue.
Well, I wanted to have you put your opinion real quick.
All right, fair. So the Patriots. Chris and I were talking before the show, and there's an old saying.
Yeah, there is news to this now as well, like new news from earlier.
Like right now or?
No, I'm saying from what we were talking about.
Oh. Yeah, there's an old saying, you are what your record says you are. I don't believe it because strictly on paper, New England is the worst team in the league by a country mile. Just a complete void of talent. No splash players, no big names, no blue chip guys. The only player on your team or on their team that is worth even half of a damn is Christian Gonzalez. And to his fair, statistically, and just by how he's played, he's a top 10 corner in the league. This kid, as the children say, is an absolute baller. That's what they say. And I hate that I said that. Ew. But whatever.
Maybe even top five.
Yeah. SOG football, one of the premier rankers of the NFL world, has Gonzalez as the fifth best quarterback in the league. It's earned. It's totally earned.
I think that he's made a case to be just the top cornerback, period.
Maybe not
like,
over.
Yeah, there's been some. We're not talking about prime champ Bailey here, but.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But I don't know where you go. I mean, New England, you're going to have. I mean, look, they have the most cap space in the league, also by a country mile. So they need to do something. It's just. They're just not an attractive place, and you're going to have to overpay people to come, but don't go bargain hunting. You need – and I know we said this before, New England doesn't value what we call splash players. They never have. But eventually, I would think something has to change. The Browns, oh, my God. They're just – the Browns are a team, okay? Let's just say they're one of the teams of all time. We love Jameis, but the entire team is just Jameis and the power of friendship. They seem to be stuck in limbo right now because this is a bad QB class. By the way, their cap situation is like not good at all. If I recall correctly, they have the second fewest cap space in the league. They're at like negative, I believe. Chris, can you confirm or deny?
I can't confirm nor deny, but I can look it up real quick.
I mean, I could do it too, but that's
well. I want you to keep talking, so
yeah, I can multitask. But yeah,
I got it right now. Hold on.
Let's hear. Are you on SpotTrack or over the cap?
I'm just.
I'm looking at SpotTrack right now. Cleveland, ready for this gang? We'll have negative 18 million this offseason, and that's gonna suck. That's like the worst position you can absolutely be in. As a team, you are bad, but you're also in cap hell, so you can't fix it.
Honestly, it's a good thing you got it because I accidentally looked up the Giants because for some reason I thought we were talking about the Giants.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But yeah, so the Browns, you know, you have that awful Watson contract you have to deal with. It's just, there's no winning, and you're going to be a cellar dweller for a bit. And I don't want to sound an alarmist, but a small part of me wouldn't be shocked if some of their bigger names, like perhaps Myles Garrett, like eventually demand a trade. Because Myles Garrett is on the fast track to the Hall of Fame. And he does not want to probably follow in the footsteps of Joe Thomas, another Browns legend.
Yeah.
The Jags. Oh, my. Trevor Lawrence, that's all just. He's such an anomaly. Be good or suck. Don't be mid. Come on now.
Yeah. And I also want to preface as well, like, Tony Khan, the owner of the Jags, saying that this is the best roster that the Jags have come up with. And it's like, Tony, this is also the same guy that currently runs a wrestling promotion.
Tony, I thought his name was like Shad.
I think there's two cons. And there's a, I'm going to double check it real quick.
But yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, Shahid Khan. But I'm pretty sure that. His son is Tony Khan. Okay. Tony Khan also has a lot to do with football operations. Okay. Tony Khan also runs the wrestling promotion called AEW. And I don't really follow a lot of wrestling, but I have some buddies that do. So I tend to get some stuff in the timeline about it that I don't really want to see, but I see it anyways. And all I see is just Tony Khan running a terrible operation over there.
Mm.
So do that with what you will. If you can't, he can't even run a wrestling promotion. So I'm going to assume that there's no way in hell he can run a football team.
Unlikely. No, but yeah.
I just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there.
No. And you have every right to do so. Cause you know, you got to know who you're dealing with. The Jags, they're another team that I think deluded themselves thinking they had playoff hopes by giving Lawrence a huge deal, but we can see how well that worked. Can't we, kids? The Titans. What a crash and burn that was. They had so much hype. And I actually want to bring up something that Adam said at the beginning of the year. He said, we're going to find out real fast if this kid can play or not, Will Levis. He cannot play. And then there's the Raiders. It was weird. They were like the team of good vibes. I mean, when I think of empty platitudes, some might say they were the team of joy. If you know, you know. But, well, because, you know, you had Antonio Pierce that was all grit, but we're like a family. We love hard. We play hard. Like, yeah, you know, right? And then not even 4 weeks into the year, and he's out there name-dropping players to the media, which that puts you on the fast track to getting fired. And I fully expect him to get fired. Because, I mean, like I said, the only player on your team that's, like, elite is probably Crosby. And I said this to Chris, like, I can see in the near future Crosby requesting a trade. So and then there's the Giants. Dable, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'll keep it brief because Chris is going to roll his eyes because he hears me say it so often. Dable should not be fired. The GM, Joe Shane, should be fired. Letting Saquon walk, and I know you don't pay running backs, but if you are looking me in the face and if you could do that and defend the decision to pay Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley, who I don't think has ever hit 3,500 career yards or in a season or 30 passing touchdowns in a season, say, oh, yeah, give him all the figgy pudding. No, that's stupid. You're stupid and you should never watch football. And now the Jets. Chris?
Where to even start for the Jets, man?
Only team that had like legitimate hope.
Yeah, I like title. It's crazy to even think about that. But yeah, to your point about Daniel Jones, though, has never hit 3,500 yards. The only times he hit 3,000 were his first year where he got 3,027 and the playoff year where he got 3,200 yards. I just wanted to point that out real quick before we did a nosedive into the Jets. But what a mess. What a mess. It, like, you fire Robert Saleh, you fire the GM. Who else are you going to fire? Like, you can't fire anyone else. You can't, like, after the Pats game, Matt Ryan said it best. Like, you can't make any other moves at this point. Like, this is the team that you have. This is what you're working with. The defense can't tackle to save their life. The offense, just day in and day out, is lifeless. Aaron Rodgers is not good anymore. Davante Adams, I don't really know what to say about Davante Adams, because I think everyone can agree, like, a receiver is only as good as their quarterback most times. Like, and I think that's what we have here with Davante Adams. And that's why his numbers with the Raiders were down, and they're still down here with the Jets. It's because he hasn't had a good quarterback throwing him the ball, along with a few injuries here and there. But he had Jimmy G throwing him the ball. He had Gardner Minshew throwing him the ball. Aiden O'Connell was going to start throwing him the ball if he stuck around long enough prior to getting traded. So I can't really give a read about Davante Adams yet. Just everyone on the Jets is overrated, and this is just the same Jets team that we've been living with for the last 24 years. Or in this case, if you're a Jets fan, for all of your life. Just continuous disappointment. I think the best way to really wrap up the Jets on my end is that I came across a TikTok of a Jets fan ranking Jets wins from the last 15 years. And every single game that he talked about was later followed by a rant about how they blew it the next week or the week's fall. And it, like, they get this glimmer of hope, and then it just gets shot in the freaking face right afterwards.
True. Yeah.
Like, they have this glimmer of hope with Aaron Rodgers, especially last year, and he gets hurt three plays in. I mean, Zach Wilson led him to a better record than what they have now.
Sam Darnold even had a better record than Rodgers does.
And that was debatably a worse roster.
No, not debatably. Like, it was.
Like, they had Robbie Anderson as their top receiver. Like, when you're leading receiver since, I think, when your leading receiver for the last 10 years is Robbie Anderson, you have a problem.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that? Robbie Anderson is the
Chosen Anderson. Hey,
Chosen Anderson is the leading receiver for the Jets of the last 10 years. Not Garrett Wilson.
It would have been like Decker or.
Not Decker, not Garrett Wilson, not Brandon Marshall.
You know what? Maybe Quincy Enunwa would have been a fun little one for the kids to hear about. You know, like, yeah, when you're old and like, hey, did you ever hear about that one Quincy Enunwa insanity run back in like 2016? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Jets. You know, the GM, Joe Douglas, is gone. Head coach Robert Saleh is gone. Everyone's like, oh, what's happening? I feel like not enough people are pointing finger at Rodgers. The delusional Rodgers fans are poisoning the minds of society yet again, saying stuff like, oh, Rodgers isn't a coach killer. To which I say, brother man, are you blind? Yes, he is. He just did. We watched it happen. And I keep saying this. Remember Aaron Rodgers said, oh, I don't know anything about Joe Douglas getting fired or Robert Saleh. It was so shocking to me. This is literally something like a lawyer tells you to rehearse in court when you know you're guilty. That's how he talks. And when are we going to actually, you know, blame Aaron Rodgers for this? Because I'm going to say it right now. Aaron Rodgers is a child. He is a child. He is incapable of accepting responsibility. And even though he is the problem. And the worst part is the diva-ness is now showing through more. Because here's what the people won't tell you, but I will, because you can trust me. Unlike the mainstream football folk, you know, like the Stephen A's of the world and Kurt Warner, I actually care about you, and I care enough to tell you the truth. It was always there. No one else saw it. I saw it, but it was always there, right? But now he's not good. Now he's not MVP candidate. Now, not only has Father Time caught up to Rodgers, but Father Time has also stuffed Aaron Rodgers in a sack and tossed him into a frozen lake. Now that he's old and not good, there is nothing to distract us from the fact that he is the football version of cancer. And what do you do with cancer, boys and girls? You cut it out. And that's what they have to do. I don't care how much it hurts. He only has 1 year left on his deal. You say to Rodgers, be gone. He says, oh, I just renovated my house in New Jersey. Oh, I might. You really think that matters to a guy like Rodgers? He's insane. Good riddance, I say. And I mean, he's a guy who literally takes his appearances on Pat McAfee more seriously than he does football. And yeah, he's got to go. And by the way, there was a report. It was posted by JPA Football on Instagram where, get this. This is per Ian Rappaport. The New York Jets are planning on drafting a quarterback in the first round this offseason, regardless of if Rodgers is on the roster or not. Once again, this is per Ian Rappaport on JPA. So there's that. And I could wail on Rodgers all day. But shout out to the rest of the team. Oh, my God. Holy crap. They've just regressed. Quinnen Williams looks terrible. Teams are now going out of their way to pick on Sauce Gardner. He can't tackle anymore, and his coverage skills are just god-awful. Teams are targeting him. Garrett Wilson is frustrated. Davante Adams has been more or less a flop. Breece Hall is running like he's stuck in a pool of honey. I don't know what it is. That team, any chance they had is dead. Remember how they said, oh, we have like a sneaky good roster with Rodgers. If he's even a game manager, we're contenders. Well, he's not. And it'd be one thing if the rest of the team could drag him along, but the rest of the team regressed with him. I don't know what the answer is, but booting Rodgers, I think, is a good start. What do you think, Chris?
No, I think that it's crazy that Rodgers thinks that he's going to come back to the Jets when I think the Jets are pretty set in stone on not bringing him back. At least that's what it feels like in the reports. But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out come next year on what's going to happen. This could even be a situation where it ends up being like a Russell Wilson thing where he gets forced out no matter what. Which is what happened last year or back in March with the Broncos.
True.
But yeah.
I don't know, man. It's
terrible.
I'm so tired of people saying, you know, Rodgers is like, he's not the problem. And, you know, Pat McAfee's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, man, he's such a good guy. Like, I wonder if Rodgers wasn't on the show. Like, if he wasn't on the show, what would McAfee really think of him? That's the real question.
Yeah. Well, he's also got his buddy AJ Hawk there as well.
Yeah,
but all the teams that we just named are in the top 10 in the draft right now, or projected top 10 in the upcoming draft. Vegas, number one, Giants, number two, Pats, number three, Carolina is number four and mathematically somehow not eliminated from the playoffs. Jacksonville, five, Tennessee, six, the Jets, seven, Cleveland, eight. And all the Raiders and the Giants are the only two that are at 2-11. Everyone else is 3-10. And then you have Chicago and New Orleans rounding out the top 10. And obviously, with there being 4 weeks left in the season, all of that could very well change. But Sure. We're going to move on to our week 14 top three, bottom three on the other side of the break. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Our final subject that we'll be covering is the week 14 top three, bottom three. This was a little bit tougher to kind of decipher who was going to get bottom three nod. I felt like there was a lot of good games in terms of competition this week. But starting out first with the top three is potential game of the year, the Bills and the Rams. Yeah, could have put the Rams, and honestly, could have even put the Bills despite the losing effort. It just this game had everything in terms of just, I mean, everything. And then there was just no defense, but everything, I mean, in the sense of the offensive firepower. Obviously, we talked about Josh Allen being the first player to have three touchdowns and three rushing touchdowns in a game. First game ever where there was five plus passes. And in a loss, first game ever where there was five plus passing touchdowns, five plus rushing touchdowns, over 900 yards. And there was one other stat to go along with it, along with no turnovers as well. So we already beat this game to death. We don't really need to go too much and more into it.
Yeah, it definitely deserves to be a top spot. We do this rarely. Like, I remember there was one year, it was like earlier, or 1 week earlier in the season, where we put Patriots Dolphins as like the worst for a bottom three. So why not add the best, you know, like with the Bills and Rams? That's totally, I think, a great idea. That was Chris's idea, by the way.
I enjoy doing that. I feel like that if there's a great game or a bad game, it deserves to get some sort of recognition. Oh, yeah. Like especially in this case, like it's you aren't going to put the Bills at bottom three. That's for sure. But moving on is we're going to knock off, a top three slot and a bottom three slot since these two teams were in the same game, Vikings in the top three, the Falcons in the bottom three, Sam Darnold probably having his, honestly, he did have his best game of his career, 22 for 28, 347 yards, five touchdowns. Jordan Addison getting his own hat trick with three receiving touchdowns on eight catches. Justin Jefferson, seven catches, had one less yard than Jordan Addison, 133, 132, Addison to Jefferson, respectively. And Jed has also had two receiving touchdowns on his own end. Aaron Jones getting out of his little... He had a bad game last week, but he was able to make up for it this week. 13 carries, 73 yards, averaged a little over five per carry, along with a touchdown score. And the defense, the defense got two interceptions as well from Kirk Cousins, which leads us to the Falcons being the bottom three, of course. This was supposed to be the Kirk Cousins revenge game, but Kirk Cousins has not thrown a touchdown pass in his last four games. That's bad.
But how many interceptions has he thrown?
Eight interceptions.
Exactly. Last four games, no touchdowns, eight interceptions. And we talked about this last week. You have to put in Penix, because I always say there's a difference between winning with your quarterback versus winning because of, or winning even in spite of. Kirk Cousins is actively playing you out of games. Start Penix. For the good of the city of Atlanta, for all the wonderful people that live there, you have to start Michael Penix. Those people have been through enough with Kirk Cousins.
The worst part about this too is that they had firm control of the NFC South, especially with Tampa dealing with injuries. Like, they were beat and battered and had a little losing streak. Now that Tampa's somewhat healthy again, which involves getting Mike Evans back. And now Tampa Bay has taken full control of the NFC South, where the Falcons have now dropped four straight. And really, like, they couldn't afford to lose. They can't really afford to lose too many more games because of this, right? Like, You got the Bucs now back in first place. The Falcons have the tiebreaker because they've beaten the Bucs twice this year. All they have to do is finish with the same record as the Bucs. But like, I can't even trust the Falcons to, like, they got the Raiders on Monday Night Football coming up next week. I don't know if I could trust them to beat the Raiders next week. I could trust them to beat the Giants. Shit, I don't even know if they'll beat the Panthers last week of the season.
Like, divisional game, honestly, probably not. I call me insane, even though he's unproven. I would actually feel better if they put in Penix, and I keep saying it, but that's just because it's true.
Yeah. Four-game losing streak. They've lost five of their last seven. So take that with what you will. Rounding out the top three is the 49ers. This is your typical get-right game. I was wrong, of course, because I had the Bears and was thinking, you know what? This is going to be the interim head coach bump, but it turned into a get-right game for the Niners. They're still alive. Their playoff hopes are still alive now as they won 38-13. Even with all the injuries that they've had to deal with this year, they're still just barely alive. Brock Purdy had a solid game, 20 for 25, 325 yards and two tugs. Isaac Guarendo, who is now the bell cow back with CMC and Jordan Mason being out, 15 carries, 78 yards, two touchdowns. Defense did pretty solid in general. They ended up forcing a fumble on Caleb Williams, and that was really their only turnover of this game. Couldn't really get any interceptions on Caleb. And the one turnover that the 49ers had was an interception that was thrown by Brandon Allen, the backup for the Niners. So that tells you how this game went for San Fran. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah. No, that's it's just the Falcons. They're an unserious team.
We're on the 49ers
that's,
now.
That's really all I can say about that. And then the Niners, well, I know I was getting there. Far as the Niners go, hey, didn't Guarendo get hurt too? That's the crazy thing. They're going to be down to like RB4. But Guarendo, I don't think it should be too bad. Also, even though the Niners won, they're losing the drama war. Did you see Deebo Samuel said, "I'm not playing bad. I'm just not getting targets. I need the ball more," or something like that. And then on X, community back check, buddy. You lead your team in drops.
I did.
And
see
I
that.
Have him on my fantasy team. It's so over.
Yeah, I mean, to the Niners' credit, though. I mean, everyone's making comparisons to the 2020 season, but the thing with the 2020 season is that they were out of playoff contention by this time, whereas the Niners are still hanging around. They're 6-7 right now. Granted, they're at the bottom of the NFC West, but they're tied with Arizona and they're two games out from Seattle. So, I mean, anything can happen. They have the Rams next week, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals. That Lions game is going to be tough, and that's going to be on Monday Night Football as well. So that should be an interesting watch.
Yeah.
Finishing out the bottom three, we got two teams left. We're going to touch on the Tennessee Titans first. This is pretty simple. They lose 10-6 to the Jaguars. You lost 10-6 to Mac Jones. You only put up 6 points on one of the worst defenses in the league. Like, you could shape it up to this being a divisional game and bullshit can happen. But like, Even when you got two interceptions on Mac Jones, and neither really, you didn't do anything with either. Like, you got an interception in the first half and you ended with a three and out. You got an interception on Mac Jones after a 13 play drive that ended with a 13-yard sack or 12-yard sack. So that's really all they had. That's all they had. I mean, Will Levis, he didn't throw any picks. That's really the only thing. Tony Pollard rushed for 100 yards. That's really it. Other than that, this was just an absolute stinker. Defense did its job.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is a candidate for, I feel like you could have put the Jags and the Titans there. But it's the fact that Will Levis, technically speaking, played better than Mac Jones, and they still lost. Nah, Titans. You will take your spot in the bottom three, and you will like it.
Yeah. Honestly, to give more of a case to put this entire game as a whole as the bottom three, this game was done in like 2.5 hours. This game started at 1 o'clock. It got done by 3:30. I think every other game was like just barely getting into the fourth quarter by this time. Which is just crazy. Moving on to the last team in the bottom three, the Arizona Cardinals. They lose to the Seattle Seahawks 30-18 in a game that we somewhat got wrong. Who did you have for this game again? I had the Cardinals.
I had the Seahawks.
Okay. So I was wrong about my pick in general. You were right about your pick. But we were wrong about how this game was going to go. We thought that this was going to be more of the same as the first time around, but it was the complete opposite, considering that one team put up 30. I mean, just more points all around than the last time around. But Kyler Murray, 2 interceptions. This was the Cardinals' time to try to get themselves back into striking distance of the division lead, and they didn't even come close. Zach Charbonnet, who was in for Kenneth Walker, who was hurt, rushed 134 yards on you. The Seahawks as a team almost rushed for 200 on you. Geno Smith had a good day. Honestly, like, Seahawks, honorable mention for top three, but other than that, Cardinals really did not help their case for trying to make themselves a playoff run here.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. The NFC West is just not a serious place. I mean, the Cardinals were literally in first place. They got their fans, all 10 of them. They got their hopes up and then killed it. Killed their hopes.
Yeah.
Also, they refused to target Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, man is getting open and they just won't throw him the ball.
Yeah. Like, I just saw a TikTok and it was talking about the fantasy football bust this year. And it was, one of them was Marvin Harrison. And it was like, I mean, what, like,
if you took Harrison in the first three rounds, though, that's on you. No one should have had him that high.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Marvin Harrison is that everyone thought that he was going to, like, I think he's still all that in a bag of chips, but it's just the fact that, like, they're not using him correctly, and he's not being used the way that I think most people would have thought.
No, they're really not. Like, I don't understand why. It's like, I know it's not intentional, but it feels intentional. Like, you have to be doing this on purpose. No team is this stupid in how they use a first overall receiver.
Yeah. Some honorable mentions for either side. Dolphins with an overtime win against the Jets, keeping their playoff hopes alive. Tyreek Hill, 10 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. Honorable mention for the bottom three, the Bears. I mean, this game was over by the time the second half came around. It was 24-0. Honorable mention as well for the bottom three, the Giants only put up 11 on the Saints.
And Adam really tried to sell us on Drew Lock.
I mean, I like Drew Lock, but he's also,
I don't like 11 points.
So. Yeah. I was thinking about the Raiders in this case as well, but they're only down by one in the fourth quarter before the Bucs kind of stormed back. Let me fact check that real quick. Actually, they're down 14-10 in the fourth quarter, but
it was still a one score game, and then it just kind of wasn't.
Yeah. They still made it a one score game going into the final drive for the Bucs as well, 21-13, but the Bucs got a five play 80 yard drive to win them the game.
So yeah.
kind of a weird game for Tampa, but they got
it's
the
been
win.
A
out
weird
of it.
Season for Tampa. It's been a weird season in general.
Yeah, like I think this. I mean, this could be a conversation for maybe next week when we get a little closer to playoff time. But this season's pretty wide open. I think this is probably the most wide open it's been since 2017.
Yeah, I would think so. I really had to stop and think, but yes.
Like I said, this can be a conversation for a little closer to playoff time, but like you look at teams like the Bucks and you're like, all right, well, this was a team that probably could have made another deep playoff run. But I think that there's a good possibility that they get bounced in the first round. Looking at like teams like the Lions, who everyone's been hammering this to death. They have 13 guys on defense there on IR. The Eagles, like, they're dark horse, but they're notorious for starting out slow. So I don't know if I can trust them to be in a shootout with the Lions, depending on where it is. Like, there's no question about the Lions offense. It's really their defense that's going to be in question. The Eagles start out too slow all the time. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Packers, Jordan Love and his interceptions. The Steelers, like, they've proven that they can put up 40-plus, but that was on a bad defense. But their defense has also shown that they can make big plays. The Bills, they have Sean McDermott as their coach. The Chargers, they could make a run, but they also couldn't. The Commanders are a little weird. They're frisky. Might make a run, might not. Same thing with the Broncos. The Ravens, everyone thought that they were going to be that they're the top Super Bowl contenders with the Lions, but even then, like, they still don't have a great defense. So it's pretty wide open this year.
Yeah, once again, just it's been a weird year. Everything seems pretty wide open. I mean, even the wild card teams like the Chargers and them could make some noise. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the NFC, though.
In the NFC. I think it's pretty top heavy in terms of the NFC. And like, there's some other playoff teams like the Vikings that we didn't mention that you never like you had the feeling that they might crack, but they haven't really shown it all that much yet. Like,
they're 10-2, right?
They're 11-2 now.
11-2.
11-2 and currently on a 6-game winning streak right now.
But the thing is, we've seen this movie with the Vikings before. But maybe if they're not division leaders, it'll be better, I guess.
I mean, they're not even like leading the division. I mean, granted,
no, I said if they're not.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be a pretty wild time for football, especially with a lot of the playoff outcomes that are going to be coming up pretty soon, which kind of remind me, Ian Rappaport finally put out his week 15 playoff scenarios. So that'll be fun to get into once we get into Friday's episode. But that is all the scheduled content for us today. CJ, you got anything else you wanted to add before we end the show?
No, not really.
Word. If you're in fantasy football playoffs like myself, good luck. TJ, you in the fantasy playoffs?
Yeah, I am.
Word. All right. Good luck to you, my man.
You too.
And God bless everybody in making sure that everyone stays healthy, I guess, except for if you're Eric Christensen, then I need you to lose to me this week.
Or anyone who plays me. Looking at really anyone. If you play me this week, I hope you I hope you don't win. No offense, just business. That prize is mine.
That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast, the Tuesday episode. New episodes coming out on Friday at 5 and, of course, Tuesdays at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod, along with our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Kostich, she's CJ Medeiros. We will see you Friday. Over and out.